We are in Kofi Gimel, the Ramah, Halachazayin, no Purim Tarir. Okay, the Mechaber had said that the coolness of a pas, that you could just light the fire, does not look by that was the last time, those things don't look by Bishop. But the Ramah says, V'yesh Cholkim, the Ramah says, there are those who argue with Sviru, who tell Lokas Ha'esh, or Chitu B'Kachol Mahani L'inyim Bishol, K'moy L'inyim Pas, that lighting the fire, or stoking the coals works for Bishol also. Just like works for Pas V'chei Noigin, that's our minute to be make about that. Then the Ramah says, V'afiru Chitu B'loy Kavon Mahani Umboil. Also, if you do the chitush shaloi the kavana, that's also good. We'll talk about that in a second. Even if the yid did his stirring of the coals shaloi the kavana, it's good. And then he says v'yeshemim nachakula that feel the chitu yisrael for hishlach kisim. Even if the yid didn't stir the coals and he didn't even do hashlachas kisim, which would also work for bishul yisrael. That's what the Rambam means to say. Rak shav kichov mehidla ka'esh me'esha yisrael. Sorry, all that happened was the goy lit a fire from a yid's fire. The yid did nothing to this fire. The Ramah says that's also mutter. So the Ramah says a whole bunch of coolers that not only does Bishul Yisrael have the same coolers as Pas Yisrael, even more, so even other coolers we haven't heard yet, Eish Meish, also works, and all those are fine. Okay, just for a minute to talk about the stirring Shloi B'Kavona. It was really merumas in a din earlier. It was in Halacha Dalet. The Ramah was merumas about it also. And I'm just going to stick in that there are those who argue on the Ramah. The Ramah says, it's a deed from Mishnah, that if the yid stirs a shloi b'kavon, it's good enough. The halacha and al-chadalad was, it says, if a guy cooks in a yid's house, the food is b'dievet okay? Because for sure somebody walked by and stirred the pot. Some yid must have walked by and stirred the pot. So the Ramah, which is coming from the Mordechai, says, he didn't do it to make it bishul Yisrael. He was just stirring the pot just for whatever reason to do it. So you see that you can do a shloi b'kavon. And others are...
You're not showing that kavon with it. You're mechamed to cook.
Yeah, so I mean, nothing to do with
mitzvah. Jesus, kavon is a machlokes, but that you're cooking and you have to stir it. Matzahs.
Okay, so that's what the Ramah holds. What's the difference? As long as I participate. So I'll just tell you, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but Rabbi Ganax said pshat. This is how we learn pshat. He said, those who hold that the yid has to do the kavonah hold that the yid's participation is to make a hecker. He says, you can't make a hecker unless you know what you're trying to do. And as I say, you have a fire you made, and I'm going to do something to make a hecker, therefore, I have to do the kavana. Without realizing it, I can't be making a hecker. That's how we understood it. As opposed to the Ramah, he thought that the Ramah holds that when the yid stirs the fire, it becomes the yid's fire. If I had a little part in it, now it's my fire. My fire, I don't have to, like you said, I don't have to mitzvah's kavana to make it my fire. If I want to make a hecker, then I have to be more understanding what I'm doing. Okay? That's what he said.
In the light bulbs.
Right, but whether that's, Lamaisa's passion says everybody holds that it's a hecker. But okay, let's leave that. That's not really our thing. Okay, what the main things we want to talk about is that the Ramah, the last part the Ramah said is the most socially practical, which is if the guy lights fire from the Jews' fire, what we call Eish Me'esh, that's considered Bishul Yisrael. I don't know what the Ramah had in mind in his day. I don't know what that was, what practically was, but for us it's very practical. Okay, we have pilot lights. Okay. That is to say, I guess it could happen. I'm thinking it didn't seem like a day-to-day kind of thing that would happen all the time. For us, it is a very practical thing, and that is like this. The way most cooking things and boilers and ovens work is, the fire doesn't get lit into this huge fire instantly. What you do is you first make a small fire or a spark or something, and from that you light the bigger fire. That's how you do the lighting, for whatever reason. So in most things, in my home, in my stovetop, that little fire, what they call the pilot, is temporary. It only goes on when you need to light up. It goes on for a second when you need to light up, and then it goes out. Okay, but there's such a thing called a standing pilot. That's what we get to us, which is a pilot that stays on 24/7. It's always on. If you'd like that pilot, then it will potentially make the food. Then the guy, when he lights up the whole oven, will make it bishul yisrael. It'll still be bishul yisrael because he's lighting his eish from the yid's fire.
Okay. There's another major chilik.
Yeah.
Another major thing is, which they mentioned at the echo, Sagaruchas, the guy was more of a problem with the Schwarmuth machine.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked into it. Because the time that, you see, the question is, there's six flames on a Schwarmuth. On a Schwarmuth machine, there are six knobs, three on each side. Okay. So Moshe, I went in this week to Mizrahi Grills, so right after the event, I said, let me go investigate. The yid turns them on all six in the morning. While they're cooking, depending if they're not busy, the guy doesn't want it to burn, he turns off, he can turn off four of them, maximum. And then, if one stays on, as soon as you turn on another knob, it takes it off that fire.
Okay, very good.
So then it's Bishmeish, yeah. So you don't have a problem.
What he said was that someone at the convention said that by the swarm, it cooks just one layer at a time. And if it's quiet for a couple of hours, it'll just turn off the oven completely.
I'm sorry, most of us have never seen a swarm machine in my life.
You've never seen it? Okay.
But it's an upright broiler. That's what it is. It's an upright
broiler. The fire's on the side and the walls
and the sides are on the sides.
And there's a huge hunk of meat just sitting on it.
And the hunk of meat twirls around it, and that's how it cooks, okay?
Okay.
And it cooks a layer at a time. As soon as that layer is done, either they cut it off the biz. If not, they push the fire back, okay? They push the thing out. Further away from the fire. It has wheels. The thing has wheels on it. The whole mechanism.
The fire,
it moves it away from the fire.
Oh, it'll move the fire
automatically?
No, they do it by hand. Uh-huh. And then, if that's not enough, they turn off some of the flames because they don't need it to be so hot. They just want it to be warm. But when they go to turn it on,
so there's always a heat there.
The person who was speaking said they turn off all the fires, as if the whole thing goes off.
It could get cold.
Right, and he's saying is that no, it'll get cold very quickly. It's an open ear. There's no chamber even.
Yeah.
He's saying is that they don't turn it completely off. They only turn off most of them.
They don't turn off all of them because that's
what happens. Why are you saying it's HVA? So the one fire is always on.
Because three separate knobs, so it's three separate fires.
Saying, even if not, but at least the fire is still there. Anyhow, even if
it's it's like a pile light. Takes it all from there.
Yeah, but it's different. So here the Aish is a massive missile. Yeah, it's not like a pile line which is over here and the fire is over there and you put the part over there.
Okay, we're going to get to that in a second because hopefully you'll explain.
The CSC policy they're trying to make is that Aish Ma'esh, who should be Mahmud, to be Samech on a pile light is not like a Tchila. But when the pilot, there's two types of pile lights. One type pile is in the middle of the stove and it connects this way. Then there's a pile light on each individual burner where that is fine because that's part of the fire.
Both of you are going to explain that to me in a second. We're getting to that, okay? So I'm going to call it a minute. Okay, so now, the first question we have to talk about, there's two parts to the question about a pile light. One is halachic shilas, one group of halachic shilas, and then another practical questions, okay? The first halachic shilas is like this. It says here, the Ramah says, you could do Eish Me'esh. It's fine. You can do it. Okay, the Ramah is saying you can do it. It's b'chatela. The Ramah comes from an Issev Heter. The Issev Heter says it only b'di'evet. He doesn't say you can do it b'chatela. So a number of Achronim, after the Ramah, say, this din that the Ramah says you could be samach on Eish Me'esh, it's the only time you're allowed to be samach is if it's b'di'evet. If it's b'chatela, you're not allowed, for b'chatela, you're not allowed to be samach. Okay? Some hold like that. The Ramah does not say like that. Others who are brought to hold not like that, there's an earlier Shach, and there's who agree with the Ramah, I forgot who else, a number of other Achronim who hold like the Ramah, that it's Mutter even L'chadchila, okay, and there are those who hold not like that, so that's a question.
They hold the Ramah holds its own B'di'evet, or they hold...
The Ramah doesn't say that,
right.
The Ramah says you could do it. Okay, they say is, the Ramah is coming from Nisav Heter, and therefore you can only do it B'di'evet, right. You can't do L'chadchila, okay? Rabbi Haber showed me one in Dallas that the Mishnah Berurah bringing a Magen Avraham sounds like he holds it's only b'di'evet. I don't want to use the word b'di'evet. It's second choice. But the Mishnah Berurah is talking about during a Sheres Mitzvah you're supposed to eat Pas Yisrael. So he says, and if you can't light the fire yourself, then at least you should do one of these coolers. Okay? So he's saying at least as if it's a second choice, as if it's not the first choice. Okay? So that's a question whether it's l'chadchila or b'di'evet. That's a halachic shaila. Lamai says I think that most people hold that's even l'chadchila. People prefer when they have a choice, like in a restaurant, there's mashgiach there to not be some machane. Okay? If they have a choice, they prefer not to. I don't think that's the thing, but they're trying to just be what?
I don't understand what you just said.
Okay.
If there's a mashgiach there,
I mean, in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay. Where you are. Okay. There's you're there all the time. So we say, why rely on a pilot that it might only be okay with the evidence? Tell the mashgiach to light all the fires. Okay? In other words, if you have someone standing there, why be sending on this thing which some hold is a b'di'evet when we could do it l'chadchila? As opposed to if you're in a place that has no mashgiach, or you go in a factory, we rely on it, we do it, no problem. We're sending on it because really I think the din is that it is mutter, even l'chadchila. Okay, but there are those who say, if you have a mashgiach standing there anyhow, let the mashgiach light the fires, don't do the eish me'esh. Okay, now, another shayla. Well, now there's a compromise. What the two of you mentioned, which I don't understand, which is to say that the only time you don't rely on a pilot with a chila is when the pilot is away from the fire, okay, which is the normal thing. The pilot's over here, and the fire is a few inches over, or it's in the middle, and it spreads for all of them. But if the pilot is underneath the fire, like on a wok, that's where it's common. The wok has a circle of flames like this, and the middle of them is one, which is the pile that stays on all the time. Then they say, no problem. That's fine. Everyone agrees that's okay. Okay. Now, I heard two hezbeirim. Maybe you have more. I was asking people, why is that fire any different? I heard two hezbeirim for why it should be okay, neither of which I understand. The first one is that the little fire that's under there is enough to cook with. Since the little fire, it's right there on the food. It's not on the side. It's right there by the food. And since it's by the food, it's enough to cook with. And if it's enough to cook with, so it's not esh me'esh, it's a cooking fire. Okay. What I don't see in the battle is that it's going to be the next halacha. It's coming in one of the coming halachas. Oh yeah, halacha yud says that the yid puts food onto a fire that cannot cook this food, kamachu ben drusoi. Okay, that, you know, no matter what, the fire is too small to cook kamach ben drusoi, not bishul yisrael. The guy then builds up the fire, it's not bishul yisrael. Now, the people said, no, but you could cook an egg on this little fire on the wok. You might be able to cook an egg, but you can't cook the dish that you put into there. You won't cook beans. You can't get anything. You put all the food, the wok holds a whole bunch of food. You can't cook anything on that fire. But you could cook an egg. What does cooking an egg have to do with it? You know,
the way a wok works is that you only cook a small amount at a time and you push everything else aside.
Yes, but
so what? No.
Look at a big soup pot over here.
No, soup. So a wok is the way that designs that you cook something, and then you have the ability to push it off its side, so it's not cooking.
It's irrelevant, because what he's saying, and I understand you, because I understand the wok, what he's saying is, it's irrelevant what this fire can do at different times. Right now, if you put in your meat and your beans and whatever,
the amount of food you put into the middle are not going to cook on the little pilot. It's just the pilot. As big as you make it, it's just
the pilot. The way I was trying to say is that you have a smaller amount of food being cooked at one time, therefore it could be that the small amount...
Amount of work.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
What he's saying is that if you put in the bigger amount of work, it doesn't help.
Okay, yes, correct. One. The other version of why it should be better is because since the fire is part of the main fires, I mean, it's integrated with all the rest of the fires, therefore, it's like Hashlachas Kisei. Okay. Therefore, it's not age by age. It's Hashlachas Kisei. The Yid's fire is part of the Gur's fire. That's like Hashlachas Kisei, and therefore that's okay. That was the other version. Now, the problems with that are, I'm not saying that that's wrong, but the problems with that are first of all, is the Ramah here, who said all these kulas, okay, either they're lechatchil or they're b'dieved. Okay, I didn't tell you this, but the Mishnah Berurah, or the Magen Avraham, who says that this is only second class, he's not talking about Esh Me'esh. He's talking about Hashlachas Kisei. He said, either the Yid should bake the bread, or he should do Hashlachas Kisei. That was, the second choice was not Esh Me'esh. The second choice was Hashlachas Kisei. He should throw a piece of wood to the fire. He said, so that's the second choice. I mean, this is all one group. Either you think this group of kulas is lechatchil, or it's b'dieved. So you switched yourself over from Esh Me'esh to Hashlachas Kisei. What's the difference?
No, I'll tell you.
Why is it not Hashlachas Kisei?
I have it.
How does what apply today? Throw in the food? Throw something in?
Oh, I thought you were talking about wood.
Yeah, well, you put anything. Do anything that contributes to the fire.
Oh, you mean, no, to the fire.
To the fire.
So, what, turning the knob up a little?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So,
but the Shach is not Hashlachas Kisei. It doesn't say it's b'dieved.
The Rama said both of them are not b'dieved. The Rama also says it. He says Hashlachas Kisei and Esh Me'esh.
Was the Shach talking about Esh Me'esh and Hashlachas Kisei? I don't think so.
I'm trying to remember if it's over. Wait a second, if it's in.
What did the Shah say by Esh
Me'esh? But I can tell you it's still between the Shlokas Kisim and the fire.
Well, this can be the one that's Shlokas Kisim. I could trust it is Shlokas Kisim.
No, no, the reason I say the difference is better than a Shlokas Kisim. A Shlokas Kisim means you're throwing in a toothpick,
yeah,
right? And it burns and it's gone. It's gone.
Yeah, it's true.
Only, it's really the age of the book. Over here, if this pile becomes a chelik or a fire, then that fire is there the whole time.
If I made a little fire, and the guy put on a lot of wood onto it, I would hear what you're saying. This is my fire, and he added fuel to my fire. That's not what's going on here. It's not like the other fires are part of this fire. Come on. We're calling them together, but the pilot's here, and the rest of the fire is around it. It's not like
the pilot becomes part of that fire. It's not around it.
Okay.
It's there. It's a chelik of it. It becomes one fire.
Okay.
It is a part of the pilot. In halacha, it's true, it's a chelik. But not in halacha, I don't think it makes a difference.
Okay.
But I want to say it could be better than a shlokh's kissim. He's asking, I think it could be better.
Okay.
Don't try to ask
shlokh's kissim.
What you just say, I don't know. wouldn't it apply what you're saying only when there's a pot on the fire and the above the fire? Okay. Because then they melt all the fires together.
Okay, maybe. Okay, now another thing is
the pilot and the fire.
Good.
Maybe
that's what it does.
Another thing is no, I'm not to say that part, which is that if you want to say this is Hashlachas Kisein, you have to remember that some people hold. This is not what we hold, but there are some people hold that Hashlachas Kisein has to happen after the guy made his fire. Right? They hold that you can. That's why they don't like blow bars. You can only do it after the made his fire first. Okay. Now it's the same people who are saying you should do the wok are the ones who hold like that also. This is the same people. So if you want it, you say it's better because Hashlachas Kisein. Well, you hold that Hashlachas Kisein. You hold that Hashlachas Kisein has to happen. After the guy's fire, that's not what happens over here. Okay? And the wok is worse. The reason why wok is worse is because it seems, I'm not a cook, that they turn the woks off when they finish cooking them. It's not like a stove.
All restaurants, and all woks, they finish the dish. They turn off the fire.
Okay, fine.
No fire.
And then one last halachic shayla we have to get through before we go to
does not turn it off.
Before we get to the practical is a wok. It's just a special kind of pot. Okay, much will show us pictures. Okay, and the other kind is, the other child is, we talked about this in Kufi Beis, which is, when we say that a Yid can do something that lasts, is there a time that it expires? Does it only last for a certain amount of time? Does it sort of have to be relit every so often? Like we talked about in Kufi Beis, that most hold that no, it lasts forever. That we talked back over there, that maybe there's such a tzad that it only lasts for, it has a certain amount of time, it expires after a certain amount of time. Okay. So let's assume we pass the halachic child. But we have the practical shayla is much more lemaisa. It's much more serious, let us say, in that way, which is like this. If we have a pilot, okay, we lit all the pilots in the morning, there were five pilots in the place, he lit all the pilots. And there's a mashgiach in the restaurant. So he lights the pilots. If a pilot goes out, his job is to keep an eye on what's going on. If a pilot goes out, he relights it. And if the pilot goes out and the mashgiach doesn't catch it, then the kitchen workers are trained to call the rabbi. If they were to relight that pilot, they've been caught doing something very bad. So therefore, they say to the rabbi, hey, rabbi, come over here from the other room and light my pilot for me. It's within reason the mashgiach has a control that it gets lit. Okay? That's within reason, and depending on how good the mashgiach is doing his job, he can have control of it. Okay? But what happens in a place that has no mashgiach in it? Okay? And we don't have that. Okay? We don't have a place that needs bishri, so we... One of the reasons we insist on a mashgiach is to make sure it's Bishri Yisrael. Okay, our places, that's why we do it. But lots of places in more removed communities don't have mashgiach tamidi. So what happens is, the Yid lights the pilot on Sunday, okay, and the pilot now is going to be lit all week from that Yid. What happens when the pilot goes out at 5 o'clock at night one night, they're about to serve supper, and the pilot goes out? Okay, so now, there's no mashgiach to even ask to relight the fire. There's no one even there to say that. So what you have to what we're counting on is that the chef is going to pick up the phone and wait for an hour till the rabbi shows up to relight his fire. There's 50 people sitting out there waiting for supper. So it's hard to believe that the chef is going to really wait for the mashgiach. And these pilots are not like a pilot in your house that stays on for a year at a time. Because of the busyness and the spilling and things like that going on in the kitchen, they go out often enough. You know, if they go out more often, then how could we be simulchanin for Bishri Yisrael when it's going to go out? And when it goes out, there isn't even something to turn to. At least if there's a mashgiach there, we can at least assume he's afraid of the mashgiach, or he's been trained to call the mashgiach. But here, calling the mashgiach means waiting for 2 hours. Who knows when the guy's going to show up? Okay, to come light his fire. So
then he's going to give mashgiach anyway. There's sort of fleshik there also.
So, depending. There's different versions of how to do this. Some people only do it for milchigs. Some people will do it with fleshigs, and they have what they call a roving mashgiach.
Rabbi, I want to break a misconception here. And that is that it's not only when the mashgiach is not there, that we're worried that the chef is not going to call him. We don't have to worry. We know Vada is not calling him. But even when the mashgiach is in the kitchen itself, the chef turns on the fire, pyrolytes himself.
Okay. So
I presume the mashgiach should be trained that whenever they have a moment free, they should just go ahead and light the fire.
Yes, so that is a good idea, especially if you don't have a mashgiach. Yes, the mashgiach should be relighting pilots every so often in case of a moment.
The pilots are broken.
Okay, now.
I'll tell the mashgiach, take off all the pots, take them off for a second, put them back on.
Plugs the holes. Okay. That's the problem. That's
so So there are places that have either no mashgiach at all, or they have like a roving mashgiach. There's one mashgiach assigned to five places, and each one he gives it an hour or two a day. But so that Mashiach is sort of on call, meaning if you call him and you need him, he's in the area. He has a certain area. I didn't say he shouldn't ask questions. That's not what we're focused on. Okay, we're just dealing with the Shalachim. Okay, how they run the Hashkocha, that's their own, you know. Okay, so this is, so Lamaisa is, so one way of looking at it is like, which is sort of, which is what we say, which is, are you crazy? It's going to go out. If it's going to go out, you can't just let give Mashiach. And therefore, we turn down, how many Indian restaurants have we turned down? Well, they're all vegetarian, okay? So that you easily could be kosher. How many have them turned down? Because we tell them you have to have Mashiach Tzmidi. And of course, they don't want to do that. That's the good reason why these places get turned down, okay? But in other places, they rely on this. So the question is there something to be somehow? Okay? So what turns out is like this. So first of all, I have to give a piece of practical information, okay? Which is that it seems that there are two types of pirates, two types of Stanley pirates. Some of them are covered or protected. Okay? Think about it. The most dramatic example is on a flat top. Okay? It's just a sheet of metal like you have in by the flat glass, and underneath there, someplace underneath, under that sheet of metal is the pilot. Okay? Now those pilots, I can't say they never go out, but they can go months without going out. Okay? Because there's nothing that can blow them out. There's no spillage or something like that gets there. What?
Unless the gas.
Okay, I'm saying there isn't kitchen things that go on that will blow out that fire. Okay? And even on some stoves and some deep fryers, they could be more covered and shielded. Okay? But other ones have them exposed. They're out for everyone to see. And then, as soon as there's a spill, that can go out. Okay, so one thing is you have to look at your pilot and say, what kind of pilot do I have? If I have a pilot that's protected or shielded, then I'm on safer ground. Okay, that's much more stable that it's going to stay on. Okay? But Shaila says, what happens when we have the exposed one, which is common on stovetops? So the thing is like this. We're going to see in Halach Yudal, the Mechaber, and the Ramah is going to even be stronger, says that if a person has a suffix about Bishalakim, okay, and his example of a suffix of Bishalakim is, the din is going to be, it's going to be mutter. Suffolk Bishlachim is mutter. And the example is, you left the guy cooking food, you lit the fire, and you left the guy cooking food, and you came back, and the food had been flipped over, and there's two ways that he can flip it over. He can flip it over with derech heter or derech iser. Well, what the shayla is not important for us now. Okay, but there's two ways that it could have gone. He could have done it by heter or by iser. The din is that it's mutter. Why? It's a suffolk drabanan, suffolk drabanan lakula, and the food is mutter. Okay? Because you say it's a suffolk Bishlachim, suffolk Bishlachim is mutter. Okay? That's for suffolk. That's going to be in a couple of halachas. Okay? In a halacha to before what we're at to now, the Beis Yosef says like this. He says, you should know, what you're going to see in a couple of halachas that it's mutter b'dieved, that's only for the case that's over there. If you have a case, his case is a shvud, it's not negatas, what the case is, a case which osui, that's his word, it's common that there's going to be a problem and the guy will do it in the wrong way, the Beis Yosef says, then there's no suffolk drabon on the kul of there. We're not mekel and say that it's mutter because it's so common to happen, we can't be mekel. That's what the Beis Yosef says. And on that, Dr. Moshe says on that, he says, I don't know if I'm getting the exact words here, but something along the lines of, m'oid hichmir b'dover zeh l'hachmir b'suffolk drabon. Okay? In other words, the Ramah says, the Dr. Moshe says, it's true that that case is worse, but it's only suffolk drabanan. So the Beis Yosef is being very machmir to be choshesh for that case over here, and we should go with the rule of suffolk drabanan l'kula, and maybe that's meduyik what the Ramah says, when the Ramah in Halach Yiralaf, that suffolk says, v'chein, after saying that it's mutter, he says, v'chein, kol suffolk b'shuvi av k'chavim is mutter, it may be the call is to stress that even if it's leaning towards the side that it should be usher, it's more recent than it's mutter. So potentially, that Dr. Marsha, the Ramah, is the basis of being fine from here. You know, I asked a couple people, I this wasn't a very scientific survey, but it came out that even the exposed pilots, each individual one, this is an unscientific survey, goes out approximately once every 2 weeks. Okay, it gets blown out. That is to say, if I have five of them, that means every 3 days I'm going to get one blown out. Right? I mean, every 2 days I'm going to get one blown out. Okay? From my unscientific survey. Okay? This is what came out. So, there is a suffix. The suffix leans towards saying that you're not allowed to do it, right? The it's happened commonly enough. That means it's in a week, three pilots might go out in the place. That means, so that's pretty bad news. But the document says, even in case when it's also to happen, it's okay. And especially if we throw in dovins, you know, we'll have the Mashiach light all the time, a Mashiach coming 2-3 times a week, blow out all the pilots and start again, there's maybe something to work with. Okay, maybe there's something to work with. We're trying to explain why this is very common. Not here in Chicago, but it's common. Okay, and that people have no Mashiach in the place. And so we're trying to explain what the basis for that sheet is. Okay? And to throw in two other eights, for whatever they're worth. Okay? I'm just saying that the shiloh of it, and why it might be potentially mutter, is Yankee's idea, which is he tells people to put in a shiva candle. You know, they have the 7-day candles. So he tells Mashgiach light a shiva candle on Sunday morning in the restaurant. And this way, that's not going to prevent the...
It's not going to prevent...
any place for a shiva candle.
Because you only give Hashgacha in place of Mashgiach. He says, I know places that do it out of town. What they do is, this way, if the pilot goes out, at least the guy could light it from away from... So in other words, he's easily collided from someplace else. But when I said to you, the Mashiach is not going to show for 2 hours, at least he has a place to get it from Beheter. Okay, so they hide all the matches, and they say, if you need a fire, light it from there. So at least...
Every guy to be moving at the open.
But we're giving him at least a chance. Okay, whatever it is. And Rabbi Lubim said to me, just a few days before the conference, he says, he would say to tell people, nowadays, put in a webcam. And if you want to make a mirror system, you should be afraid to relight the fires. You put in a webcam, whatever. I mean, that's cheaper than a Mashiach Tweedy.
That okay. Help, because... Even if the camera's watching, they got the 50 people waiting out there, and in spite of the camera, they're
going to
do it.
No, so cheap once. But if you take the guy, if you ever light the fires, we're going to close you down, and we're going to stop our hashgacha, then you're creating a fear he's afraid to get caught. So you're right. I'm not saying one time he might not ruin it, but if you catch him, then you'll be able to be more certain. He'll be afraid of you, because if he breaks the rules.
I don't understand that.
I certainly
really don't. He's got 50 people waiting. And the light goes out, and it's a choice between lighting it or waiting for the Mashiach. He's going to light it.
You're right.
Cam or no cam? One time, two times, 10 times.
No, if he lights it once, because it's an emergency, and the Mashiach who checks the wind, the webcam comes to tell, listen, Jack, I saw you light the fire. So your webcam, the next time you do it, you're out of the job. He ain't doing it even if he has 50 people.
Because he's the owner. He's not out of the job.
So you say, we'll close you down. We won't give Hashgacha anymore. We're dropping our Hashgacha.
Listen, the guy has 50 people sitting out there. If he doesn't feed those people on time, he's not going to have a job anyway.
The issue is something else. The issue is that in most cases, he always has where to take the fire off. Because if he has...
He should have something on there.
No, because if he has a stove, he's got another pilot light. Okay. There's another pilot light. There's always another pilot light. And what they do is, Moshe, listen, you know, I'm going here. I don't have to go out of town. I don't need a shiva candle. What they do is, and this Teshilah. Teshilah, is this called HMH? What is this? The guy doesn't have a fire. His pilot light doesn't work. It's broken. And I tell him, listen, I'm not going to cook. Right? Okay, I'm going to fix it. Sometimes it gets fixed in 24 hours, sometimes it doesn't. The guy needs the fire, he takes his frying pan, gives it a clap on the other fire, and schleps it this way, and that's really? How the light, he lights the,
really?
The,
okay.
the other flame.
What's it? What are you doing, mister?
He takes the frying pan on the back fire, and he drags it to the front fire, to the front.
He's just dragging some of the fire with it.
And the gas catches that fire.
Oh, really?
But that's mutter, isn't it?
That would be mutter. Yeah, okay. Now, one last...
Why is that Hebrew?
Sounds good to me. Okay, one last shaila like this. Okay, one last question. Rama said that he mentioned a number of kulas that you could do even by Bishul Yisrael, which was HBH, Hashachas Kisein. He had a few kulas here that you could do. The Machaber said, no, it's only for Pas. And he says, no, these bunch are also for Bishul also. Okay, there's one other kula that it happens to say in Kufi Beis, and the question is whether that kula applies to Kufi Gimel also. Okay, which is, the Machaber said a din that if you light a fire, he lights a fire, and the fire goes out, completely goes out. And the oven stays warm, and then a guy comes and lights a new fire. Is that considered the Yitz fire? The Machaber said it is. If the oven stayed warm, that's considered a Yitz fire. And we talked about what the details of that din are. Okay? That question, does that kula apply to Bishul also? It happens to say it by Pas. Does that apply to here also? Okay? So the simple thing, my understanding was, that the Rama says all the kulas of Pas apply to Bishul also, and that one also, when you get sit and list everyone, that one also applies to everyone. So it's common. That one is common in a bakery oven, so it's said in Kufi Beis, but it applied by Kufi Gimel also. What's the difference? Pas or Bishul should be the same thing. Yeah, but somebody said to us over the past few days that no, it only applies to Pas, it's not by Bishul. Okay? That kula doesn't apply by Bishul. Okay, now, there's a very serious nafkamina to what they were saying. I don't think they realized what they were saying, which is like this. Nowadays, every modern oven is soymich on it. Why? When you turn on your oven, you turn on the fire to 350. When it hits 350, the fire goes off. So the Mashiach comes in the morning, turns on all the ovens. Great. 15 minutes later, all the fires go out when they hit the temperature. So if the fire goes out when it hits the temperature, so that's the end of the Bishul Yisrael. So the reason why it's mutter is because, the din over there is, as long as it stays warm, which of course it does, as long as it stays warm, it's a continuation of the Yitz fire. So it stays warm and it's a continuation of the fire. If you say that the...
doesn't apply.
That the Yitz, that thing of staying warm doesn't apply after the Yitz thing is over, then how are you going to... what's going to happen in the, every oven is not going to be solved. Now, there is a way out.
Okay. Oil everything.
There is a way out, but they're for sure not going to like this. There is a way out. Because there's another way of looking at it. I told you that an oven is Bishul Yisrael because if I light the fire, it stays warm the whole time, it continues to Yitz action. There are others who look at it, I think we talked about this then, that say, since I turned it on, everything that happens in the normal halach yelch of this oven is considered my doing. I mean, in the Machaber's case in Kufi Beis, the reason why, the fire went out, the whole thing is over. If the fire is out, the new lighting is only considered my fire if it stayed warm. But in our case, when you turn on the oven, you set in motion the entire day's worth of cooking. The fact that the fires go on and off, that's just part of the normal course of events. That's the way it works.
So then why about convection
oven? MK, if you're going to say like that, MK, so then a convection oven also. I turn on the fire in the morning. Then I open and close the doors. That's part of the normal halachah of the oven. Then it goes on and off. Just instead of cycling off based on temperature.
If a convection oven, you are doing, somebody's doing a pool of shutting it off.
Okay.
Glad that when
he
closes, heat through the
thing. Why does it go on when I close the door? You're right. It's a little bit different.
Closing the door is I'm doing a new thing.
No.
Excuse me.
When I open the door, the knob doesn't go back to zero. When I close the door, I'm saying take
but
away.
The fire Akron was done by the guy who closes the door.
Yeah, I know it's a clear. I know it's not exactly the same, but Lamais is the reason why it's working is because someone turned it on in the morning. Now there was an interruption to that, and now it's coming back. It's coming back on. But it's okay. So you can argue. You can argue. You say it's different because it really goes out and it's over. Okay, but I would say is if you're going to say my action, my turning it on is whatever happens the rest of the day is considered my
work.
My
companies we do that with the boilers, right?
Yes. Same thing.
But the way then nobody changes anything. The whole thing of the boiler, whatever.
No interruption.
Yes. So therefore, my action in the morning set in motion all these kind of things that are going to happen.
But okay. Down and going up to go.
And over here.
Over here, someone's opening the door, shining on the fire. Okay? If no one's going to do anything, it's going to be off forever. And when somebody closes the door, it's like turning on the knob, and then the girl will close the door. Right? And that's garbage.
But if the Yid doesn't turn on the fire, he can open the door and close the door, nothing's going to happen.
That's true.
We have a way to explain like that. But I would tell you, my assumption is that the real thing is the Ramah, all these cools apply to Bishul just like by Pas. That's, I think, the simple understanding. And therefore that, halacha applies to, I don't have a reason not to. I've been told otherwise. My experience, this is what I told them, my speaking to other Pesachim is that it's fine, it works for Bishul also. Okay, they quoted the names, I'm not going to say the names, of people who said that it only works for Pas, not for Bishul. I have heard otherwise, and I have no reason to think not like that. And I'm telling you, this is not clear, which I wrote, we'll wait to hear what they say back about it. This is practical nafkamina, which is not going to be good news. I mean, according to them, they may have a hard time explaining why the chicken in their oven is going to be Bishul Yisrael. Okay, thank you.